Welcome to the Australian CISO, a podcast for current and aspiring chief information security officers and anyone interested in cybersecurity. My name is Richard Herron. I am the host of the Australian CISO and proud to think there are listeners in 38 countries of the world. All opinions you hear on this podcast are my own or those of the people being interviewed. They do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the companies that I or the interviewees are employed by. The podcast is recorded with Audacity using a Rode Podcaster microphone and hosted on Podomatic. Hi everyone and welcome back to the Australian CISO episode 38. Today is Friday, September 29, 2023. For those of you not familiar with Melbourne, Australia holidays, we actually have a holiday before our AFL football grand final, which is held tomorrow at the Melbourne Cricket Ground. The two teams are the Collingwood Magpies and the Brisbane Lions, and for the sake of Queensland listener Jacob, go Lions. But to be honest, I really don't care who wins. Last week, we completed the interview with Nigel Fair, which I conducted at B-Sides Melbourne 2023. Thanks again to all the organisers of the event. They did an absolute tip-top job. Today is part one of a two-part interview I did with Daisy Wong. Many of you will know Daisy. If it's not her never-ending smile or her colourful hair, it's her talks at security get-togethers about security awareness or education. Similar to the Nigel Fair interview, we had no script to follow. We just went with the flow and we just talked about stuff. Clearly a very technical term, I'm sure you'd agree. We both have a few ums and ahs throughout the discussion, but again, we just went with the flow. I listened to the audio file of the interview the day after B-Sides Melbourne, and it brought a smile to my face. I hope you have the same reaction after listening to this episode. Here is part one of the interview I did with cyber superstar Daisy Wong. Enjoy. And we're back at B-Sides Melbourne 2023 in Cremorne in the SEEK building. And I've got the pleasure of speaking to Daisy Wong today from Flybys. Daisy, how are you?
Hey, Richard. Good, thank you. I'm really happy to be here and doing this podcast with you.
Great. Now, we are at B-Sides. And as I said to a few people over the last day and a half, this is my first B-Sides. I'm very impressed. Is this your first B-Sides? It is.
Yeah, it is, surprisingly, right?
Yeah.
So I've heard of B-Sides, but never got the chance. And last year it was sold out within minutes, as you would have heard.
Yeah.
So this year I had the pleasure of being asked to be on the B-Sides review board. So I actually reviewed all the presentations and contributed that way. And yeah, first time here.
Being on that review board, what were you looking for? Were you looking for diversity of thought, diversity of speakers? What did you have any criteria? Or
I think better both.
Yeah.
I think obviously Brett, Lucas, Lydia, the organisers for B-Sides, they really want B-Sides Melbourne to be like for new starters, those who are just starting out in the career. So I think we all wanted a breadth of different topics, the technical, career focus, things like that. I work in security culture and awareness.
Yep.
So I was hoping to see a few more.
Yep.
I don't think I did. I saw a few communication ones that is related, but nothing super security culture and awareness related. But that was where I was coming from.
Yeah. But it's interesting you say that. And I will ask you later about new starters and what hints you could give for new starters. You mentioned that, and I've noticed that as well, there hasn't been overly a lot of security awareness talks today. However, to be fair, if you look at the conferences we've been to before, the ASA CyberCon, there's a whole stream of CyberCon. So you do get your fill of awareness at CyberCon, but here, slightly different. There's so much diversity in the topics. Like, how's that session? I think you were in it, but the RF signals.
Yes, that's right.
That was amazing. And did you go to the talk yesterday from Harriet Farlow about drone hacking?
No, I didn't miss that one, but I did go to Austin Gale.
Yep.
That's pretty sure his last name. The physical red teaming, all the tools you use to hack into a door.
Man, that was incredible. Maybe that's one part of security, perhaps, we're under.
I think so. I feel like we forget it a little bit.
Yeah.
It's like there's a door, there's a lock, that's it.
Yep. Because if you think about your house, your big mansion you've got in Toorak, you would want all those windows locked, the door shut, the sky roof locked the swimming pool, many swimming pools you have bolted up or whatever. You know what I mean?
It's all not true, but correct. I feel like, yeah, a lot of people do forget about the security.
Yeah, the physical
security.
Yeah. It's quite interesting. It's quite undervalued. But after Austin's talk yesterday, I think I'll think a bit more about that. Now, tell me, I know you work at Flybys, and I know your name is Daisy Wong. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself? And maybe you can start way back when if you want.
Sure.
But how did you ultimately get into cyber? What did you start with? Yeah. Did you study? Did you go this way, that way?
Yeah, sure. I'll tell you what I do now, and I'll tell you how I got there.
Easy.
So I'm the security culture and awareness lead at Flybys.
Yep.
So I help manage the human risks. Basically, you know, obviously there's different controls in cybersecurity, there's technical controls, but there's not really much you can do about people, our staff and our customers, right?
It's hard to patch someone's brain, isn't it?
Correct.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm there to educate staff about cybersecurity threats and risks, how they can protect themselves, empower them. So that's why it's very much building a security culture. Now, for me, I always believe awareness is one way. Just because you're aware of something doesn't mean you care.
Boom, boom.
Mm-hmm. But culture is intrinsic. So for us Chinese, when I meet my friend's parents, I always call them auntie and uncle. That's intrinsic. So I want to build it into our security culture at Flybys where staff don't click a link. They stop and think.
Yeah, good one.
So that's what that's basically what I do. Now, how did I get there? I didn't just wake up. I always say this. I wasn't born in cyber. I did marketing at uni. And for those who may have seen a photo of me, I have pink hair, love makeup. I should be at L'Oreal selling lipstick. That is what I say a lot. And I thought that I was going to, do a marketing degree. I thought I was going to be a marketing marketer. And then I graduated and then I was applying for graduate roles. The only job I got offered was IBM as a project coordinator. I cried because I had no idea what I was going to do. Because for me, IT was coding, developing codes, one and zeros, definitely not what I wanted to do.
I guess you were happy first off that you were given a job offer.
Correct. Of course. Yeah. I was very grateful, but I was just like, is this it? What do you do? My sisters are a lot older than me, and she sat me down and said, Daisy, do it for a year. And if you don't like it, you've got some experience, we'll find you something else.
Yeah. No one's forcing you to stay except the rent you've got to pay next month.
Correct, and things like that. So I did that, and then I fell into, I started my career at as a project coordinator, and I did, I was moving the production servers at NAB, but on the IBM side before NAB was the client. So I did that for 2.5 years.
When would have that been, like mid-2010s, like 2012? 12, okay, yep.
12 to 15?
Yep, yep.
I did that. So obviously NAB, one of their production centres, was moving to a different location.
Yes.
I did that on call, all the fun changes, cabs, all that fun stuff. I did that for 2.5 years. Then, unfortunately, that role was made redundant.
Yep.
But by then, I had a good 2.5, 3 years worth of experience in IT, and I'm like, I think I can do it.
Yeah.
And I actually quite enjoy the project management side of things. And again, I know this is not a visual medium, but for those who don't know, I actually have a physical disability. I was born with spina bifida. So I use a pink wheelchair and crutches depending on if I want to walk or wheel that day. Richard is looking at the wheelchair.
No, because I saw a sticker here that said something like the Equalizer. Or is that just the name of the...
The Equalizer. I think that's just a brand.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
but I did have a special assistance on it because I just flew back from Singapore.
Oh,
and I was like... Please remove that. I don't want to have this sticker on me.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I felt like an IT career would be good for me because I've been working for about 10 years. Even pre-COVID, I was always able to work from home.
Yes.
Now, I wasn't working from home fully because that wasn't the trend back then, but I was able to.
Yeah.
But if I was in a career or industry that I couldn't, then it was just going to be harder for me.
Yeah.
So I did that. And then I applied for roles and I ended up at NAB because I liked the culture at NAB.
Yep.
And I ended up in the penetration testing team as their project coordinator scheduler.
Yep.
And that's when I helped match the pen testers to the work.
Nice.
But the main thing I did was translate the security vulnerabilities into business risks and languages.
That's excellent. Yeah, look, I didn't know you when I was at NAB, but I was there between 2010 and 2014. And I was in that general area in Victoria Parade where the pen testers took up a lot of space.
Yes.
And I'm glad you started there and did that role because I remember I used to watch them thinking, seems to be no rhyme or reason to what they're doing. And yeah, they produce all those reports with all these vulnerabilities. And I looked at a few of them, and I'll make this up, right? It might have said the NAB Online application has a cross-site scripting issue. And I'd look at it and think, business wouldn't even understand what that
Correct.
Means.
Yep.
And so you've converted into some type of
That's right.
risk.
Yeah.
Yep. Gotcha. Yep. Well, that's good, because otherwise as a business person, you'd be going, you might as well give them ones and zeros.
That's exactly right. I think for me, an example I hope I can give is at NAB, I won't go into too much detail, but there was we were competing.
Yes.
All the four banks compete with each other.
Of
course. Right. And so there was the Apple Watch app.
Yep.
I think that is, but let's just use that as an example.
Yep.
There were all, so the NAB developers created it, was going to push it out to market. There were security vulnerabilities,
yep.
gave them the report, and the business owner's like, I approve, just, I don't care.
Just do it.
Just do it, because they need to compete.
Yes.
You don't want to be the last to market. So I had to come in and explain, I'm happy for you to still go to market,
yep.
but are you willing to accept these risks?
Yeah.
Because if we get breached, this many customers, this is the reputational damage. If you're okay with that, the decision is yours.
Yes.
But I need to explain it really carefully.
Yeah.
So I did that again for 3.5 years. And then lucky me, before the age of 30, I suffered 2 redundancies.
Oh.
That role at NAB was made redundant. And I was really lost, Richard, if I have to be honest, because I was often told, because I was a non-technical person
yeah.
in a very technical team.
Yeah.
I was always told that I was the nice to have, not the
nice,
the nice to have, not the must have.
But surely, I just potentially interrupted you there.
No,
you must have thought, but you know what, I've been made redundant, but wow, my resume and my brain is a whole lot experience and knowledge is a whole lot deeper now. This should be a good stepping board to something else, or
no,
you sort of.
I was really doubting myself because I was constantly told you're not technical. I remember asking someone, my manager at NAB, can I get some career advice or guidance?
Yeah.
And the response I got was, Daisy, you're not technical. You either do security culture and awareness or project management.
Mm.
I was interested in security culture and awareness, but I felt like I rebelled against it.
Yeah.
It's like, because I felt like that I was pigeonholed.
Yeah.
I wasn't given that opportunity to do it because I'm good at it. It's because there was nothing else for me to do.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So then I really was going, I was going to leave the industry because I was like, there's no place for me because I'm not technical. But I know you're going to ask me this later about the hints and things, but I then joined the Australian Women's Security Network.
WSN, SN. Yes.
Yep. I have now since I volunteered for 2 years at as their sponsorship manager.
You go, girl.
Yep. They, Jackie Luce, our founder, is amazing. She's done so much for the industry. She really helped me. And she,
right.
you know, paired me up with a mentor. I, you know, really got the advice that there is a space for me. That obviously being in cyber, you need to know the concepts.
Yep.
So just because you don't need to know one and zero, it doesn't mean you don't understand, you know, what a SOC is.
Yes.
What a SIEM does, things like that. And then so I then moved into the Victorian government as a cybersecurity project manager. And one of my projects was a security awareness campaign. And that's when I found my calling.
Oh, fantastic.
And then I was in government. My last role at government was at the Department of Premier Cabinet as the cyber culture and awareness lead. And then I was there for 3 years and I moved over to Flybys last year in April. And that's how I got into cyber and I would like to stay.
I think you'd be capable of doing most roles other than maybe flying helicopters, unless you put your mind to it.
Yeah,
because
correct.
What I find with you is that you're very articulate. You've got this ability to convert technical concepts into plain English. And when it comes to risk management, which is what we're really talking about here.
Exactly.
That's what you need. I just see, and I've mentioned this in an episode that I'll put on in the future, I'm kind of disappointed with the lack of plain English risk management discussions that are occurring in organizations.
Yep.
Like all that stuff you were talking about previously about, you know, converting vulnerability issues into plain English for the business. We need to do more of that.
Yeah, 100%.
And with cyber awareness, I know you and you would not be talking about hubs and routers and all that.
Oh,
you would
God,
be
no.
putting plain vulnerabilities and threats in plain English for people to understand. And
that's
exactly
right.
What we need, a few more daisies in a few more companies in Australia, I think. I really do. Now, you've told us that you're at Flybys.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you want to talk about Flybys at all, or you... cool with it?
Loving it.
Loving it. Excellent.
I went from Victorian government where, I was whole of Victorian government. There were 300,000 public servants.
Settle. Yeah. Wow.
And obviously that includes all the departments, agencies and
Yeah.
things like that. Flybuys as an organization was much smaller, 450 people. And I have a really supportive manager. So I'm really
Cool.
enjoying my role
Yeah.
there.
Yeah.
So
It
yeah.
really helped. Like you mentioned Jackie before, who had a pronounce
Loosedale.
last out. Yeah. So you've mentioned her who provided you some really good guidance. You've mentioned your manager. The fact that you've got a manager who's been able to guide you and give you great assistance, that's fantastic,
It
isn't it?
is.
It
It
is
is.
so important. And that
Yes.
relationship is so important. If
Yeah.
you don't have a good relationship, you may as well leave.
That's
And
right.
sounds like you've got a good relationship with your manager.
Yes.
I have a good relationship with my manager, I hope, if he's listening. And yeah,
Yes.
it's all a good thing. Now, I want to ask you another question. I want to
Sure.
ask you quite a few questions. What is it about cyber you enjoy?
I really like that I can help people.
Yeah.
So, I've enjoyed my time at NAB, but without being rude, I would like, I was obviously protecting our customers, right, at
Yep.
NAB. But for me, my role at Victorian government was amazing because we were helping Victorians. We're
Yeah.
all Victorians.
Yeah.
We're not all NAB customers.
No.
We're not all Flybuys members. We are, but generally speaking, we are all Victorians. But yeah, I really like the aspect of helping people because they can, it is really hard to understand. Like I always say, use this example. My poor dad, he's turning 80 next year. It took me, God knows how long to teach him how to use WhatsApp. And now I need to teach him to not send me photos of his passport.
I'm glad you said passport. Yeah, I can understand
So,
that.
but it's quite frustrating for my
Yeah.
dad because my dad's like, it took me so long to learn
Yeah.
something, and now you're making me learn additional things.
Yeah.
And I just think, when you're able to, like you said, use plain English for people to understand, use
Yeah.
storytelling analogies, people will learn and be able to protect themselves.
Yeah. It's funny, my parents are no longer with us, but I'm so thankful they lived, to that stage of the IT things that we
Yeah.
know now. And look, they never used it, but I'd show them, and they were quite appreciative that I showed it to them. I fear if they were still living now, they would be forced to use IT, do your net
Correct.
banking and all that
That's
sort of
right.
stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that obviously gets back to education. But the good thing is we're educating kids, I believe, from kindergarten onwards with
Yeah.
iPads and all those things, and they just grow up with it like you and I did with a pen and paper.
Correct. But only one more thing I'll add, why I like cyber is it's cross industry. So I can
Yes.
do cyber security culture anywhere. I've already done it at banks,
Yep.
government, now Flybuys is more fintech, retail, and I really like that we can do that across different industries, or actually any industry, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. In fact, I think for job seekers who perhaps aren't being successful at the moment, never fear. I think there are so many organizations that might have, the IT person doing security, but they'll see the light soon. And I reckon there'll be, of next year, there'll be a whole lot more security jobs that appear. Now, it's interesting you said you like helping people and you like the sort of cross industry. I think helping people is a common thread amongst security people. We like to help
Yeah, of
people.
course.
And now, and when we're at the bank, banks worked with other banks because,
Yes.
we might, as I always say, we might be competing at the cash register, but we're fighting the same
That's right.
issue. And
That's right.
that cross industry, to me, I see that as diversity. There's so much diverse stuff you can do. I should use the word variety. Variety of things you can do in security. One day, let's pretend you're a security generalist. You're a one-man person in an organization. One day you could be doing awareness. One day you could be mucking around with compliance. One day you could be writing a strategy. One day you could be writing a board paper. One day you could be writing some, I don't know, reports or something.
That's right.
There's so much
Yeah.
diversity. And I'll tell you what, 9 out of those 10 things do not require you to be technical.
That's it. That's right.
And here's another thing about technical. As a CISO, I quite often say to people, oh, look, I'll have to bring an IT person in because I'm not technical. But you know what? If we, just say you and I
Yeah.
spent half an hour every weekend, within a couple of weekends, looking at an iPad, looking at YouTube, our level of IT would
Yeah.
rise to a reasonable
That's
rate
right.
if we really wanted to. Between you and me, I don't bother to do that because I've got so many other things going on. But you can, the good thing about security, you can either do a course or there's so many resources on YouTube and
That's our,
online to
yeah,
learn.
that's it.
Even with awareness that you do, you can go to the ACSC website or other websites and
eSafety is another really good resource. eSafety, yep.
and see what they offer. Now, conversely, I have to ask, apart from talking on podcasts, what frustrates you, if anything, about
About that.
security?
I don't know if it's frustrating. I think it's just because the industry started off very technical. It is very male dominating. I started in the industry a bit younger, as in like a, this was I've been in the industry for about 10 years.
What, you started when you were eight, or
Exactly.
clearly?
No, but as in I do feel, and being like a young female Asian, you know, I was described as meek when I first started. I know. But yeah, but it was because I wasn't confident, because I was so terrified because I didn't do an IT degree. I don't know how to code, don't know the languages Python, C sharp, etc. And I think for me, that frustrates me. I think, you know, if I had been in an environment that was very supportive, doesn't matter if you don't know, do you want to sit in on an incident response? Do you, I don't think I was given that opportunity. So I think, yeah, that frustrates me. And the fact that the industry can seem a bit intimidating, that frustrates me.
So has it turned the corner for you? Are you now, I'm not saying you're as confident as, I don't know, Muhammad Ali
Yeah,
at his peak, but do you now have this sort of air of confidence? Do you feel confident now?
I feel confident that you know, I've said this before, maybe at Acer CyberCon last year when I was on the panel. Back in the day when I was at NAB, the whole penetration testing team went to Acer CyberCon. I was not given a ticket. And when I asked my manager then, he turned around and said, "Oh, it's very technical, Daisy. It's not for you." So I'm really proud that I now not only get to go to the conference, I'm speaking, I spoke last year and I'm speaking again this year. And growing up, I didn't see any or many people in a wheelchair. So obviously nowadays, most of us think of Dylan Allcott. I didn't have Dylan when I was growing up.
And on that note, we'll pause until part two of this episode, which should be available within the next week. Hey, before I forget, CyberCon 23 is coming up in a few weeks. Woohoo! I can't wait for that one. Alas, it's time to flick the switch on this episode. While I'm at it, I'll say hi to a few random people. Hi to Jacob W again, Dan M, Brett W, Aaron in Hong Kong if you're listening. Also, like to say hi to Veronica, Yvette, and last but by no means least, hi to Austin. I better say hi to Maverick as well. Actually, I better say hi to my friends Paul and Hian. Hi, guys. Oh, and a big congratulations to everyone who was nominated as finalists for the upcoming Acer Cyber Awards. I hope you do well, Chris B from WA, and also hope that your company, Seamless Intelligence, does well in the awards as well. Looking forward to catching up with you at the conference. Which reminds me, October is Security Awareness Month. Sounds like something we should talk about soon. With that, my friends, I'll definitely say goodbye. Thanks for listening. Try to be kind to people. You really do not know what they're going through. And I guess we'll speak next week. See ya. Bye.